Good morning and welcome to Lincoln County Connections. My name is Casey Miller. I'm Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. Every Thursday at 9, we have the opportunity to bring you information about Lincoln County government. Today, we have Sergeant Tom Graham on the program today. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Casey.
We are going to be talking about your Lincoln County Jail, jail technology, and a little history, too. So looking forward to our conversation with him today. Before we get started with Tom, I would like to draw your attention to Lincoln County's homepage. On the left, you'll see a section titled What's New, and on the right, you'll see information that gives us news and events, calendar information. So the proposed budget for 15-16 is online. You can take a look at that document. Jail as well, of course, a lot of great information, jail inmate information, the Sheriff's Department, all there on Lincoln County's website. So as we sort of discuss the jail today with Tom Graham, remember that information is there for you. A lot of great services provided. So good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Pleasure having you on the program. I've been fortunate to see you do a number of presentations before the Board of Commissioners. Also seeing you in the Breaking Barriers graduations, which is quite an experience. And I'm just fortunate to work with you, Tom. And, you know, I was kind of wondering, let's go back to the beginning, maybe give us a little bit of history. One thing I did not know about you this morning until we met was that you've had experience in the state system prior to coming to Lincoln County.
Correct. I went to work for the Oregon Department of Corrections in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Worked down in the southern part of the state on the coast at two different prisons, first kind of a maximum security setting called a parole violators prison, and then later at a minimum security facility. Worked there for a little over a year and then had the opportunity to apply for a position with the Lincoln County Jail.
So take us back to 1992. What was unique about that year for us?
Well, in June of 1992, Lincoln County opened a brand new jail, which was a much-needed facility. At the time, there was an old jail sitting on top of the courthouse, very linear bars, very dirty, designed maybe to hold 20-plus people, holding upwards of 40 to 60 people, at times overcrowded, difficult to maintain. At some point, the citizens voted to build a new facility, and that opened in June of 1992. I had the fortune of walking in the door on that first day as a new employee.
How many new people did the county bring in at that time? Any idea?
You know, I'm going to estimate that they hired over approximately 18 months, probably 20-plus people, because there were new positions. It was a much larger facility and required more staff.
So you'd mentioned that this concept of it was a linear jail. Can you just describe the difference between that structural way of laying out a jail and how ours is different now?
Sure. And a linear jail is that. It's a line. It's a row of cells. And in that particular jail, they all had bars on the cells. Today's model, we use things called podular or modular. Our current jail is designed where we have these big housing units that we call them pods. They hold a varying number of people. We have seven of them, and they hold different types of inmates, whether it be female or difficult inmates or sentenced inmates. They're designed to provide a certain level of service that you wouldn't have found in a linear jail.
Let me ask you something, just coming to mind here. In the newest designs that you've seen for the newest jails, is there a certain scalability now we're seeing built into these structures?
You know, the design of jails changes on a cycle, and what we did, they went to this model called direct supervision. So they designed these housing units where the officer or deputy is out there with the inmates, interacting with them, and the idea, and it's true, that direct supervision reduces the amount of violence, reduces the amount of incidences, because the deputy's out there with them. Today's trend is, you know, money's a factor, so a lot of jails are going back to that indirect model. For cost effectiveness, requires fewer staff. If you imagine a wagon wheel, and there's these housing units around the center of this wagon wheel, and in the center is where the staff operates and controls the jail, and there might be one person that walks, you know, throughout all of the housing units on a schedule.
Yeah. This jail, tell us about it as a self-contained, you know, city. That's a crude analogy, but what are we doing over there in terms of your self-containment?
You know, we are the mysterious box in the middle of town. We're a 3-4 facility, and yeah, you know, we have 160 inmates, so we're responsible for their care. And so we have a kitchen. We provide all of their meals. We have staff employed by the sheriff's office that prepare those meals. They work with inmate labor to make them happen every day. We have laundry services. We use inmates to wash all the clothing. So we have a huge laundry center downstairs on the first floor, and inmates, you know, all day long doing laundry. We have a medical department. We have a jail counselor. So we have all of these services going on, including prison fellowship and AA and NA, you know, and so it's this little contained city that has all these activities going on all day long.
And how many people does it take to pull this off?
Wow, you know, it takes a lot. Just to have security staff, so deputies on the floor, we average between 6 and 8 during the day, 4 and 5 at night, and then all your other staff supporting the system, cooks and counselors, and you know, we have 2 sergeants that fundamentally run the facility. We have 2 nurses, a medical staff, secretary. You know, all these people are busily inside of this little city making it happen. And then the volunteers. You know, we have over 80 volunteers that come into the facility and provide a lot of service.
Wow, a lot happening, and it's going 24/7.
24/7.
It just does not sleep.
Well, we want them to go to sleep. The inmates, you know, we ask them to go to bed. We put them to bed, so to speak, at a certain time. But, you know, there are still things happening. Arrests happen 24/7, so there's always an activity going on.
And you are around the clock.
Yep.
So as far as staffing goes, I mean, is it fluctuated, and what has changed versus, you know, the efficiencies? You know, we're going to talk about new technology. And how has that changed? I mean, back in 1992, do we have less or more people? What's the puzzle there?
The approximate number is this. In 1992, we had 40% more staff and 60% less inmates.
Hmm.
So today, we're operating with a larger number of inmates and fewer staff.
Wow. And so the biggest attribute to that is technology? Or?
Yeah, and that was a plan developed by the sheriff's office and implemented. It's not like we sat there and said, oh, you know, we don't want to give up positions. We understood that there was an economic need in the county to do that. So we did a plan, and we came up with a way to become more efficient, and we incorporated technology. Basically, we added more cameras to our facility, and we're able to have more eyes on what's going on, and that required less physical bodies in the building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So... let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Tom about some of these technologies. And pleasure having you on, and we'll be right back on Lincoln County Connections. Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. We're talking to Sergeant Tom Graham of the Lincoln County Jail, and going to talk a little bit about some of the innovations in technology that you're implementing at the jail. And one of the things that sounds like that's already been implemented but is maybe in the process of development, and I assume that's a continuous thing, is jail TV. Let's talk about that. What is it?
Well, what we wanted to do was take – inmates have TVs. They're a management tool. If you behave, you get TV. If you don't behave – Mm-hmm. So, but we basically had basic cable, and the inmates had a remote, and we would often have arguments over what they were going to watch, and at times it was hard to control the content on the TV. So we got together with a vendor, and we discussed the concept and came up with Jail TV. It's a managed television system in which the staff use a web interface to determine what the inmates are going to watch. They actually control the channels. We also have the ability to... push out content that we want them to watch. Hmm. So twice an hour, we pump out this one-minute commercial from values.com. They were kind enough to give us their entire commercial system on a disc. Mm-hmm. And so these inspiring commercials are played twice an hour. We give inmates training on bloodborne pathogen, and different things are played on automatic schedule. But we also have the ability to pick a program that maybe we feel would be beneficial for the inmates, and I mean a program where we're talking about how they think or how they behave, and we can interrupt their program and play that for them for a period of time as a captive audience.
Yeah, yeah. And so as you develop that programming and thinking, you know, here's going to be some personal development type programming that would be great. Do you find it's a challenge to find that information? What is the biggest obstacle there? Is there any, you know, copyright challenges, or what do you face with?
Well, the jail owns a lot of material, but it is the copyright issue, because we own it in VHS or cassette tape, and getting permission to convert that to a digital format so we could play it has been a bit of a challenge. But we found a lot of companies really willing to relicense us so we can play that content. There's a lot out there, but everything has a price.
And so as a team, you meet together and... And, you know, and just to refer to, for example, say, Breaking Barriers, I've been to a few of those graduations, and my impression of this type of coursework was this would be just great for anybody, you know, and what a value to bring. What do you look to for your models in terms of the kind of content to unfold?
Well, right now our challenge is we have fewer staff. So we're looking at using things like Jail TV to still be able to get the programs out there.
Hmm.
Breaking Barriers is a 40-hour class. So we have an instructor with inmates for 5 days. You know, not always possible to have a staff member available. So what are other ways that we can deliver that similar content? Well, the TV is there in front of them. You know, and I hate to use the reference of kids, but as kids and adults, we are enamored with the TV. We sit down and we watch it, regardless of what's on. So we've discovered that we can pump programming out to the TV, and they'll watch it.
Is the thought of kind of a podcasting-type formula or even audio, standalone audio, something you've thought about?
We do standalone audio. The TVs actually, after hours, convert to some signage, that you know, some popular sayings with music in the background. Mm. And on the idea of podcasts, we're actually coming up with some audio content from our staff members talking about maybe, you know, this is what's expected of you at this time, and playing that in the background, you know, kind of subliminal going on there. Hey, you really need to behave. You know, this is the rule.
Yeah.
And we're trying to consume every moment that TV's on.
So interesting. Kind of a management tool as well as a personal development tool. So
yes.
it serves both purposes. Now, inmate kiosks, it sounds to me like from years ago when I saw you present about, for example, the turnkey programs, this is something that you were very innovative. I mean, were you the first, close to the first in the state to provide inmate kiosks?
We were one of the very first to provide kiosks to inmates that provide the level of service that we do.
So what has that done for your programs? I mean, give us the main benefits of the inmate kiosks.
Well, the very first thing that was a benefit was communication between staff and inmates was done either verbal or through a written form. The kiosks allow inmates to make requests in writing, basically through an email system, and direct it to the appropriate person. There's no paper to shuffle around. They also are able now today to communicate with their family members through both email and a text messaging system.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer does a lot of the work for us because it scans that content to make sure that it's appropriate. So we've opened up communication between family members.
We're talking to Tom Graham and Sergeant Tom Graham, talking about the Lincoln County Jail. You're on Lincoln County Connections. We'll be back in just a moment. We're with Sergeant Tom Graham of the Lincoln County Jail, focusing right now on jail technology. Before we went to the break, we were discussing the inmate kiosks and how that has really given the inmates an interface with the outside world and improved efficiencies. And the video chat, what do you call this?
Video visitation.
Video visitation is a part of that kiosk piece, too?
That is true.
Oh, okay. And that's gone over very well.
It has. You know, it's the more traditional style for visiting someone in jail is to go through a background check, make an appointment, come to the jail, get 15 minutes behind glass on a telephone and talk. What we've provided is the ability for you to communicate with your loved one from the convenience of any networked-enabled device. So if you've got a cell phone that has network, you can do a video chat with your loved one. We've also opened it up. So, you know, in the past it was just on Saturdays and Sundays. Today, when the inmate's available, you can have a video chat with them.
Wow, incredible. And with the mobile devices, it seems like everybody's in their mobile device these days. That's got to be a big opportunity for both families and inmates.
Communication's huge. If you're not connected with your family, you're not likely to be successful.
Yeah, and if you do have that kind of support, that can really increase the probability that you're going to serve your time and get out and do the best you can to stay out.
Yes, and it reduces frustration. If you can imagine 20 years ago, needing something done on the outside, and your only means was to write a letter, send it, wait for a response, and come back, hoping that that thing got taken care of. Now you can send an email or make a call or video chat or text them, and you can get business done.
Well, you know, maybe that's a good segue to talk about tablets. And when did you decide tablets might have a place inside the jail?
About 2 years ago, we started a discussion with our multiple vendors about what we could use tablets for, and we're going to be doing our first beta test here. The idea is to provide the inmates that behave themselves and follow our rules with a little additional something, and the tablet's something that they can take back to their cell. They don't have internet access, so they're not going to be able to browse the web, but they could do certain functions like continue to send an email or send out a text message. Maybe download an ebook and read it, or if they're assigned a specific program that we want them to do, they can continue to do that program in their cell, so they can do their homework, they can continue to read about the things that they need to read about. So there's a lot of different things we see the tablet being a benefit for in the future.
Yeah, really a lot of possibilities, maybe allowing them to have a little bit more personal time with that interaction. The jail kiosks are something that, do you have a lot of privacy, for example, with the kiosks?
There's not a lot of privacy. You're out in a common area, so there's background noise and people looking over your shoulders. It's very distracting.
Yeah, yeah. What do you see as some of the potential the obstacles to implementing the tablets? Any kind of technical...
Well, we have to work with our IT department. Of course, they're a wireless device. We want to make sure that network security is always met. We want to make sure that the device does not allow them free access to the internet. You know, that has some consequences I don't think we can even get into. And so, but it's to focus them to where we want them to go with the tablet, and we want to make sure that that type of security is in place. And that's why we take everything very slowly when we introduce new technologies. But you know, you brought up privacy. I think that's a huge thing, being able to go back to your cell and sit down and maybe engage in a video chat with a degree of privacy would be appreciated on both sides. Doesn't violate our security standards because we're monitoring those calls, but, you know, gives the two parties a little bit of private time.
Yeah, I imagine that would be some good incentive, too.
Yeah, that's we want to motivate them to follow our rules and be compliant. And, you know, anything that we have to offer can be given and can be taken away in based on behavior.
Yeah, and maybe customize that programming, too, to the individual's needs.
That's exactly it. We want to narrow it down to what does that person need from us.
Okay. Well, just with the last minute here, Tom, any thoughts about those out there who have friends or family in the Lincoln County Jail, and the first point of entry for those who want to check in on anyone that they might know that's in?
They can certainly visit the Sheriff's Office website at www.lincolncountysheriff.net. We have our online roster system there, so you can go in and see who's in custody. New feature added to that recently with our changes is you can also go look at past incarceration. So historical data is now becoming available on people that have been in up to a year ago. We also encourage people to visit the website to get information about our programs and the visiting. It'll take you to the proper links. Like if you wanted to make a video visit, it'll take you to inmatecanteen.com and allow you to, you know, direct you through setting up an account to email or video chat or text message. Those are all great communication tools.
Got you. So it sounds like the Lincoln County website is a great place to begin. Of course, now the new website is mobile-friendly, which may help those on mobile devices accessing information to learn more about the services for Lincoln County's jail. Thanks for coming on, Tom.
Thank you, Casey.
And thank you for listening today to Lincoln County Connections. Remember, we'll be here same time, same place next week. That's Thursday at 9, and more information about this program and upcoming meetings are all at Lincoln County's website. Have a great day.